All right, guys, welcome to episode 37 of the Golf Days Australia podcast, sponsored by Cobra Puma Golf, Dent Putters, Session Set, and Net Return Australia, broadcasting to all good major podcasting services. Remember to smash that follow button and hit us up with a five-star review. Gents, I am back. It's been a couple of weeks. It's great to be back, but what the fuck did you guys do to my studio?
He's back, DP.
I have to adjust my chair. I found my I won't even talk about the doll that I found. What's going on? What'd you guys do to my studio and my dartboard?
DP,
I had to replace my picture because you put holes in it.
Don't worry, I'll put more in it. These ones are a bit bigger. All right, so gents, we've got a couple of sponsors to give a shout out to. Nate, Session Set at the moment, what's going on with those gents?
Yeah, mate, Session Set have got a new deal out, so they've still got their original deal that they've had running with us with the $20 off for their subscription case. That still runs. Same code, GDA beer, all uppercase one word, or GDA cider. They're throwing in another one. So there's a few people that, you know, might not be ready for the commitment of, you know, having to do the monthly subscription and maybe just want to give it a test run. So they've got a one-off intro set with a discount for GDA members only. So the information's all on our Golf Days Australia advice and discussion page. It's pinned at the top. But basically, normally $79, you're going to get $10 off for an 8-pair mix case. So you get 8 pairs of craft beers, all quality beers from independent brewers. So you're going to get it for $69. Try it out. Code is GDABeer. So if you're looking for that perfect present for Christmas as well coming up and you didn't want to jump on the subscription deal, this is a perfect one. So all one word, GDABeer, uppercase. Get $10 off a mix case for yourself or for somebody else that you want.
Nice. Like it. Very, very good. And what are you guys drinking down tonight? I've got the Capital Brewing Co. Rock Hopper IPA,
which I'm brewing. Nice. Yeah, I've got a Hairy Man Brewery. It's a deliciously malty pale ale. I've only got a couple left as well. I've got to send an SOS to Shano. I need to get my next box up here ASAP.
All right, DP.
DP, are you having a sparkling water again tonight, mate?
Mate, I copped a bit of shit for drinking sparkling water on the bloody live last week. And can I just say, I'm all for drinking responsibly, but I'm having one of those things that Steve-O mentioned, that bloody, what do you drink?
Yeah. Rock Hopper.
Yeah. Rock Hopper. The Hock Ropper. Yeah. The Rock Hopper.
Nothing. There's nothing wrong with sparkling water. It's okay. It's nothing wrong with that.
Don't have to drink to have fun, but it bloody helps. Get it in here. Session Set.
Sessionset.com. Jump on there. www.sessionset.com.
Anyway, let's talk about some bloody golf. Can we talk about some Bermuda? No triangle. Did you notice the Bermuda triangle? What's the go there?
Yeah, so we had the Bermuda Championship at Port Royal Golf Course, Southampton, Bermuda. Crowds were back. How good did it sound on the coverage to hear the crowd in the background, gents? What do you reckon?
Just sneak peek, giving it away. Spoiler alert, my takeaway was how good is having a crowd around the 18th hole. I actually thought I was watching a replay of an older event at one stage. When I saw the crowd wrapped around, I just thought, hang on. Oh, that's right. There's crowd here. So, yeah, it was great. I love the crowd being back. Even though we spoke about last week, you know, the risk that it brings now, bringing the crowd back, and they'll have that again at the Houston Open coming up this week. But, yeah, it's nothing better than having a crowd there, especially around the 18th.
So Brian Gay takes it out after a two-man playoff between him and Wyndham Clark. Both of them came in with a score of 15 under over the four rounds. So Brian bogeyed the 17th to fall out of the tied lead. The nails his approach on 18 to a few feet to clinch a birdie and to get back in the tied lead. Wyndham had an opportunity to drain a birdie on the 18th in the group just behind. But it runs past the right edge of the hole. So, yeah, it goes to a a two-man playoff. Any thoughts on A, the playoff? You love a playoff, mate, don't you?
Yeah. I love a playoff. How good is a playoff? And I got two playoffs today because we got one in the Euro as well. But to be honest, on the 17th hole, Wyndham Clark has this birdie putt. And you're kind of thinking he's got a one-shot lead at that stage. I think if he makes this putt, it's game over. It's Wyndham's, that's his tournament wrapped up. And he leaves it short, just in the jaws. And, ridiculously clutch birdie from Brian on the 18th. His wedge shot, nearly hold it. He yelled out, go in the hole. Just a great wedge shot and just his clutch putt in the playoff as well. So he putted solid all week and, yeah, it's awesome to see.
Do you reckon he's got a weird putting style, Brian Gay? Looks a bit loose.
Yeah, they all, I don't know at the moment. I feel like everyone's putting style is different. It's so crazy the amount of different putting styles that are out on PGA Tour and the ones that change from week to week. So I've had the same putting stroke, same hand position, same mallet putter for so long now that I just love that and I stick with it. I don't understand guys that swap and change and go back and forth, but it's, he keeps it low to the ground. He keeps his putter head low to the ground. Do you like his putting style, DP?
I don't know. It just looked a bit weird. But old Wyndham Clark, he choked. He dead set choked though, didn't he? Like, did you see both of those putts? He had the first one to win on the 18th.
18th, two holes in a row to take it.
And he's chopped both of them.
He gave that putt a ride on 18 to take the win. He didn't. He wasn't leaving that one short. He drilled it that far past that I thought he was going to miss the next one going back.
I thought the same thing. I thought there's a bit of meat left on that bad boy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he probably just hit it through the break.
I think it's the nerves. I think a bit of adrenaline.
A bit of rush. Yeah.
Adrenaline rush. Yeah.
But massive for Brian Gay, 48 years old, oldest winner on tour since Davis Love in 2015. That's his fifth win. He's had a pretty handy record as well. I have to fact check this, but I'm pretty sure I heard them say that he has never lost his card since joining in 1999.
Yeah, wow.
That's pretty cool. That's a ridiculous career.
That's a pretty cool feat.
What's he had? Five. This is his fifth win, yeah?
Fifth win. You're taking that career every day.
Only 21 years.
Yeah. I hadn't heard of him till today. Fair comment. I don't know, 48. But what's the go? Like,
right, you hadn't heard of Michael Long either, and you were interviewing the bloke for an hour, so.
Hey, he's a good bloke too, right?
He was a good bloke. That was a great interview. If no one's listened to that one, go back and he had some great chat.
But old gay man, like, what's with those speed dealers?
The sunnies.
What's with the sunnies?
Oh, I think it's to take the glare off his shirt.
and he's got the flat peak cap. Like, I'm 42. He's 6 years older than me, and he's dressing like a 16-year-old. I'm thinking, my God.
Him and Charlie Hoffman, I reckon, hang out a bit.
Maybe Pat Perez probably in there too.
Yeah, Pat. Yeah, you could tell that those guys just they haven't grown up at all. But yeah, those sunnies. I was okay with his shirt and his hat, but those sunnies were just
a bit much. Yeah, a bit much. but he shot a 7-under 64 to get into the playoff. Wyndham with a 6-under 65 and some pretty low scores on Sunday as well. So there was a 63 in there too. Some pretty low scores on Sunday. There was a bit of weather delays over the course of the tournament as well. So yeah, a bit of dodgy weather happening. Some rain and wind. Yeah, the wind was pretty horrific. All right, takeaway for me, Fred Funk chipped in on his last hole in round two in front of his son, who he was paired up with. So Taylor Funk was also there. So Fred actually made the cut. Taylor, his son, missed the cut. But pretty cool memories for him to be playing paired up together in a tournament, PGA Tour tournament. Like, that'd be that's sort of probably every childhood dream when, your dad gets you into golf to be able to play professionally together would be pretty cool.
Well, there's another thing. Like, how many sports can you compete at the top level as a father and son combo?
Yeah.
Like, it's a really cool thing to do. is to, you know, to play with your son and compete with your son and to play. I know he chipped in on 18, and but poor old Taylor had a million that day, and I think he bogeyed that hole. So, you know, I'm sure he would have enjoyed playing with Dad, but Dad absolutely towered him up. But I guess double par, that was your homework for the week. So Steve-O just did your homework to work out if they were related.
Yeah. Good job. I mean, he probably read it off the spreadsheet that I typed into.
Oh, okay. Right. Okay.
But Steve and Mark Waugh, they were father and son, right?
Yeah.
Andrew and Matthew Johns. Yep.
Yep. Yeah, exactly right. There's a few of them. Yeah.
They're all time partners.
The Shark and Greg Norman Jr. are going to be playing together in a couple of months' time. And you got John Daly as well and his son. So there's a couple in there, but it'd be pretty awesome to be doing.
Yeah,
be
able Bill
to
do Haas, that
professionally. Yeah,
I think that, Bill Haas and is it Billy? Oh God, come on! But yeah, they play. But yeah, I don't think there's many other sports that you get that opportunity to do that. So that's just another awesome thing about our sport.
What about how do we not mention Snyder Jans?
Ollie.
Name. Well, he's like the 54-hole leader, I think, wasn't he? Ollie Schneiderjans refuses to wear at.
I think my mate Doc Redman was.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. I think Ollie was in there maybe 36-hole. But, Doc Redman was one of my picks, him and Max Homer this week. But Doc was up there, but he just couldn't get it going today at a 69. But, yeah, Ollie Schneiderjans. It's a great name.
Name to watch, I reckon.
Yeah, I'll give you a name to watch, and I've said it before, but Will Zalatoris, he's on the rise, getting his, you know, sinking his teeth into the PGA life at the moment. And I think today's result ended up getting him a special exemption for the rest of the PGA season, and he'll get a heap of sponsor invites as well. So look out for Will Zalatoris' name. He's an up and coming for sure. But yeah, Matty Jones tied fourth is my other takeaway. Is just another solid week for Matt Jones, and just takes home another check.
Yeah.
You want my takeaway, Steve-O?
Go for it, DP.
Brian Gay into the top 10 of the FedEx.
Oh, my God.
Actually, I did hear something before around the early winners of the year. I can't remember what the stat was, but it was a really high percentage of them actually making the top 50 at the end of the year, those early winners. So I think it's in the first 8 weeks. There's a real high percentage of them actually being there in the top 50 come the end of the year. So we might bag the crap out of it at this time of the year, seeing the points and seeing the leaderboard. But there's method to the madness of getting an early victory on the tour.
There's only one bloke that bags it, and that's Nate. He doesn't get it, though. It's difficult for him to understand, but his wanker mate's leading still. So
wouldn't most of the winners be in the top 50?
Yeah, so early points. Not necessarily winners, but early points.
Oh, okay.
Will lead to you being up there at the end of the season.
See, getting out to a lead. That's why Bryson did his thing, US Open, just took the FedEx lead, and he's just going to sit back now, DP.
Well, he's not going to get any points, buddy, 2 weeks' time. Let me give you the drum.
Awesome.
Moving on into around the grounds, Nate.
Do you want to do it brought by Dint Putters?
Yeah. Brought by Dint Putters, yes. Let's get into that one. So we have a new deal for our listeners out there. Heading into the Christmas period, you can get a massive $50 off the limited edition Phoenix putter, usually $349 for GDA members. But you can pick it up for $299. Australian designed and made putters. Use the code NOMORE3PUTS. With the number 3 in there, all one word, and you can get your hands on one. Be quick though; there's actually not that many left, so get in there quick and get on to that deal. No more 3 putts is the code there. But around the grounds, Nate.
What a great deal! That's an awesome deal. I'm just hoping that none of the kids that I've taught are doing that, because they won't be able to spell all those words in that code. So let's hope that everyone knows that putts has 2 T's and not just one, because the amount of spelling I've seen lately. I know DP wouldn't be able to spell no more 3 putts correctly. So
F-R-E-E, free putts.
That's right.
Free putts.
But yeah, just a quick one this week around the grounds. Obviously, PGA Tour, we spoke about Matty Jones tied fourth. Massive, massive effort there. Cameron Percy tied 26. Senden made the cut, tied 49th for Johnny. Ren Gibson and Aaron Baddeley missed the cut. Euro Tour. I caught the end of the Euro Tour at Cyprus Open today. And Callum Shinquin. Do you like that name, DP? Callum Shinquin. He won in a playoff. And it was a, you know, really solid effort by Callum. He had a massive, massive final round. And he finished birdie eagle to set the score at 20 under. And then it went to the playoff and he made birdie and the other guy had about a 4-footer, same line that he had to get into the playoff and he lipped out. So, gut-wrenching for him to lose, but good win from Callum there. And Jason Scrivener, who we have interviewed on this podcast, top 10, so he come T6, yep, Scrivs. And Maverick Antcliffe, another great name. Good to see him getting some results as well. So tied 41, so it's going to put him in good stead learning over there on the European Tour. We had some women's golf as well. The Symetra Tour was over there. We had Anna Balak. She won -7. She won by 4 shots in the end. But we had Steph Nahr tied 27th. So another great result for Steph Nahr over there. And then the PGA Tour champions, Darren Clark, Irish boy Darren Clark, -17 down in Florida. He won by 1 shot. And Stephen Leaney, again, another top 10. I think that's his fourth for the season now. He came tied 10th. David McKenzie tied 26th. And Pamps 26 as well, taking home another check. So that is Around the Grounds brought to you by Dint Putters.
Very good. Loved it. Good to see Scrivs up there on the leaderboard. We might hit him up and see if we can catch up with him again soon, because I think the chat we had with him, we sort of scratched the surface, much like our interview last week as well. So it'd be great to sort of catch up with a couple of those blokes we've already spoken to before. We've actually, on that note, we've got Matthew Griffin coming up next week. He's had 4 top 10s in the last couple of years as well. So another good Aussie getting on board and having a chat with us. So looking forward to having that live chat with Matt Griffin Tuesday next week. Now on to tipping, sponsored by Birds of Condor. Now, I heard on the podcast last couple of weeks, you guys have been mentioning this name quite a bit. Joel Maley, he's in the money once again. Came in at, 44 under with daylight second in the tipping comp. And he also takes out the box of balls once again. Pot jackpots, there's no one picked Brian Gay, but, in the GDA Tour, sponsored by the Golf Factory as well there. So, yeah, thanks for your support. But, Joel, yeah, mate, running hot.
Bloody hell, he is. Minus 44 was huge as well. Minus 44, you think he won by 15 strokes or something like that. Yeah. Something massive. So he had the combo of Doc Redman, Will Zalatoris, Denny McCarthy, and Stuart Sink. Who would have thought that 4 combo would get him the Vickies? But good work, Joel. Mm.
Can we swap out his bloody Pro V1s for some Pinnacles or something? I mean, he's got plenty of them.
Are you running low, DP?
I won't tell him if you don't tell him.
You're running low?
I'm always running low, feeding the fishes.
The ball's good, getting a good workout at your home course, mate.
Hey, I went for a walk. Went for a walk yesterday, Arvo, because I was bored. Found 14.
In your scuba gear?
Found 14.
Just 14 balls just with the scoop.
Went just fishing. You and your scoop, just going for a walk.
And me green Coles bag. You know, the yeah, the enviro-friendly ones. Went for a walk because it was quiet out and there was only 14 balls, but there was one I was almost going to throw back, but I'm a bit of a tight ass, so that's in the milk crate.
Are you
shaking your head at, mate?
You're an idiot.
What do you mean?
You going to sign any of them and give them away, or you're just going to use them?
Mate, I'm tempted. Our pro shop, right, they like goes around and sells them back to him. And I want to go through the buckets because I mark mine with a marking that I know is mine. And I reckon it's lost property, right?
It's yeah.
My ball. just getting my ball.
Yeah. Dude, so you got 14 balls out of those. Were they 14 just random balls?
Yeah, there was a couple.
And what was the percentage? What was the percentage of pro Vs in the 14?
None, not one.
Really?
Yeah.
People are swimming for those ones.
I don't know. It was a bit hard because we've had plenty of rain. It was a bit murky too, the water. So I don't think I've seen all of them. But
you got club champs on at the moment?
Yes.
Really, the pro Vs are flying into the piss there.
Yeah, but see, I think it was round four on Sunday, and I think it was down to about, there's only about six competitors in each grade because everyone had had a shocker there. Because it was Saturday, and, you know, last weekend was shit weather.
Yeah.
And Saturday wasn't the greatest, but yeah, so those just didn't give a fuck. I think it just said, yeah, I'm not playing round four. And the weather was, the weather wasn't great. I was down just to have a round on Sunday, and I just pulled the pin because it just, yeah, it was shocking.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't great weather. Yeah. All right. Anyone got a post of the week?
I do.
Yeah, go for it.
Stephen Davis put up a thing about heading to South Australia for a week of golf, and he just asked about some suggestions, you know, what we should add, what should we change, any hidden gems. And at first glance, I just thought it looked like your normal golf trip. And then I looked into it, and they arrive on midday on Friday and play one round at a club. Then the next day they play at one golf course, and then in the Arvo play at another golf course. Then the next day they play at one golf course, then another golf course, then another golf course. Then the next day they play at three more, then they play two more, then two more, then two more, then two more. They're playing at like 20 golf courses in 1 week. And even more so, they carry their bags because it is a pride thing. Now, I'm jealous of their trip. I think it's great, awesome getting out there. But to me, that just ruins a golf trip. There's no way playing 36, 54 holes a day, carrying your clubs while you're on a golf trip. Where's the drinking time? Double par, you know, 54 holes of golf a day, and then backing it up with another 54, and then 36, and then 36, and then 36.
I'd be rat shit.
I went to Thailand, played like five rounds in 6 days or something. I was effed. Yeah. And that's with carts and caddies and all that.
Yep.
I ain't doing no. Yeah,
so that's what we do. Our golf trip every year, we fly to the Gold Coast or Noosa or Sunshine or whatever, and we play five rounds in 6 days, and or you know, four rounds in 5 days, and we have a rest day, and some of us use the rest day to actually play another round. But we've got carts. It's only 18 holes. And I'm buggered by the end of it as well. This just made me look tired looking at it. I joked about if there was a spare spot on there. And then when I found out they walk and carry, I was like, yeah, nah, sorry, mate. No chance.
Mm. Yeah, just, I'd be absolute rat shit.
100%. So where's the, I don't know. It's just an interesting one I thought of. I just couldn't believe that people could do that and enjoy that. Where's the middle ground?
You'd have to experience it, right? It's like... I don't know. It's like whether you do a half marathon or a full marathon. Like, you may as well go the whole hog if you're going to do it. But there's absolutely no chance of me running a marathon any day soon. But but yeah, play an average 54 holes a day over how many days is it? Oh, you're on mute.
Muted myself there. over 8 days.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, no, I'd be ratchet after the second day, like if not the first. Alcohol
and
can
18 golf courses over 8 days,
and carrying your bags, carrying as well. Like, what's the? I don't get that.
On the boys. I'm going to reach out to Steve. I said to him, I'll reach out and see how the trip goes. I want to just follow along and just see who these guys are and what kind of superhumans they are that they want to play that many holes and walk.
And are they
no play on golf trips, baby. That's my rule.
Stroke the whole time? Like, they're not playing any sort of events through it, like Ambrose or anything like that. Like, that'd be the only way I'd think about getting through it. That's a lot of holes.
Nah, too much golf.
That's a lot of holes. Yeah.
I guess they're going to Adelaide. Fucking nothing else to do down there, right?
City of churches. Yeah.
What else are you going to do? You just
there's
golf.
one casino, and you can jump in there for a while. But yeah, no. City of churches.
And the thing was, they left Royal Adelaide off there, I think, because of costs. And I'm like, well, just take out three of the courses and you can pay for Royal Adelaide. Jeez.
Oh, I love it though. Power to them for being coordinator. I'd hate to be the guy organizing it.
That's
a logistical nightmare just in itself. All right, I've got a post of the week as well. This sparked a little bit of not necessarily controversy, but a few people in the comment section getting onto it. But Dale Troy put up a photo. It was first round of his club champos. He was in the second group out in the morning and hit it into a bunker on the sixth hole, only to find his ball in a deep footprint. Yes. Now, Benning, there's obviously a clause here. If there's no rakes in the bunkers where he plays, then obviously he can lift and replace. But from his post, I'm assuming they have rakes in there now, so he has to play it as it lies, because he was a bit fuming. Now he commented, like he replied to a couple of comments on it, saying that it's probably from, it's a resort course, he says, so it's probably from someone late evening the day before, because they were one of the first groups out. You wouldn't expect that kind of stuff from members, especially on the morning of the first club championships out, right? Like. You just wouldn't expect that to happen, and it was close to the edge of the bunker. Like it's not hard to rake that or just waft your foot over it anyway.
But would you? It could be that. But would you expect in the first round of club championships that your greenkeepers and that have gone around to make sure everything's ready to go for club champos?
Yeah.
Like at a smaller course, like you know my one or whatever, I could understand if I think it's a guy from the day before or whatever. But yeah, it's pretty shit. It ain't just like a footprint. This thing is like
a deep one.
Yeah. Oh, mate. It's like he's fallen in there. It's like that first step where all that sand just moves away as they've got into the bunker. I'd be so filthy.
But you can see there, though, as well, it's not a spiked shoe. Like you can see the impression. Oh,
investigative. It's like the tire marks in a crime scene.
Yeah, exactly. It's not a spiked shoe. So, like, they're flat sole shoes. There's no, it's not like there's any dimples from sort of the spikeless ones. I doubt it's from a player that morning. But, I'd take
probably
what you're
saying. The day before. You wouldn't think the first group in front, and because you'd see them as well, probably because you're a shot behind. So, if he's the second group off the tee, yeah, you're thinking it's definitely someone from the day before.
Yeah, still. So he said in his original post, he goes, "What do you reckon I was saying?" And blokes are jumping in there saying, "I should have hit the fairway." There's a couple other comments in there that were pretty funny, it would shit me. Like I would be fuming, especially if there's rakes out and you have to play it as it lies. I'd be absolutely fuming. But that was my post of the week, gents, from Dale Troy. Yes.
Steve, definitely a men's size 8 volley, I'd say.
Oh, volley. Steel cap volleys? Steel cap volleys or just standard?
It's hard to say really without, you know, feeling it myself. But from my experience, that's definitely a men's size 8 volleys. Yeah.
Love it.
Post of the week. How good was that? That's the rage. I love that song. You know that song that they play with the cranberry juice song? I don't know the song.
Yeah, Dreams.
Dreams.
That's the one. Yep. The Henrik Stenson one. Did you see that? We posted that. Us, yeah, that was Golf funny. Days Australia, and Henrik's, cruising along, and then he drinks out of the claret jug. Pretty cool,
Yeah, I thought that was a good touch. Very good touch.
Talking of drinks, Scotty Campbell posted that can of Golden Bear lemonade that he found in a dodgy servo. I thought that was a pretty good post.
Oh, yeah.
As well.
I want to get my hands on one.
Steve-O was all over that. I thought Steve-O was going to drive down to Wollongong that day.
He looked like it, didn't he? He was frothing. I think he screenshotted the Google Maps how long it was going to take you.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I got in there because I don't think obviously old mate knew where I was from. I'm like, I'm not driving to bloody Wollongong to pick up a can of drink. Like, help a fella out. Maybe just buy one. I'll pay for shipping as Double Par wants everyone else to do.
But hang on, Steve, that's Scotty would have got you one. He would have gone and got you one.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you missed out, Steve-O, on your investigative skills, because one of the comments was it's called Metro Service Station. Yeah, we've got a few up this way. You know that, right?
Yeah.
A few metros.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Have you hunted one yet? Have you hunted one?
I haven't been further than 2K's radius from my house. So I need to get over and find the metro. I know there's a couple not far from me. Let's see if they've actually got one in there.
I'll have a look for you, and if I find it, 14.
I just love a good bit of golf memorabilia, and if it's only a few bucks for a bloody can, then yeah, I'll have one on the shelf.
Victorians would be filthy hearing that.
What's that?
What's that? Oh, 2K's radius.
Steve-O hasn't even left his house. He's allowed to. You're off leash.
Oh, I've been crook for a while, so I think I got out on the weekend, but yeah, played some golf, and that was about it.
Let's get into our games.
Yes. On that note, So Nate, you're on social media a bit over the weekend. Griffith Open.
Mine's going to take a little to unpack here. I need some counselling. So if you want to talk about your round, and then we'll get into mine.
Sure. I think as Double Par alluded to before, the weather wasn't great over the weekend. So I had 31 points at the moment. I'm considering anything over 30 a win, especially in the weather we had. So it was raining 1 minute, sunny the next. Wind hung around for most of the round. But most pleasing for me was I had zero wipes. So I probably haven't done that for a little bit, but zero wipes. A lot of ones. But at least I was on the scoreboard, which is good. Gave myself a few looks at birdie, but couldn't sink one, unfortunately. So no additions to the Luke the Duck challenge, Double Par, unfortunately, for me on the weekend. Did you get out, mate?
Mate, I had a bash. What was it? Third round of our clubs, but I didn't play in the first two. It's a shame I didn't, because I had a net 73, which I was pretty happy with, but no birdies, just... I'm actually going to call it boring golf. I know that sounds a bit strange, but there's nothing sort of sparkling about it. I just hit ball, find ball, hit it again.
Just chopped it around.
Did it one more than I should have on every bloody hole, pretty much. That was about
it. Bogey golf. Yeah, bogey golf. Bogey golf.
You boys saw the card, so yeah, nothing exciting.
Yeah. All right, Nate.
All right.
Let's get into it. Let's unpack this.
So, all right. So first of all, club champs are on at Leeton at the moment, but my other job that I'm doing, wedding videographer, I've got a wedding next Saturday, so I can't play in the club champs. So there's a couple
gigolo?
Of us.
Are you a gigolo?
There's a couple so of us that looked.
Other job? Up, no.
A couple of us that looked up at what else we could do, and the Griffith Open was on. So country opens are just. There's so much fun. They put on good feeds. There's good prizes. There's people that come from far and wide to play. And you know, golf courses out this way really pride how their golf course looks at that time. So the four of us booked in. I checked the Saturday before we went over. Worked out what hole we were off. Yep, we're off this hole, blah, 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 blah. We get there. Course is in pure nick, and they've always been known for their, you know, great greens, fast greens, and they were super fast. They rolled them a million times, I felt like. But anyways, we go and sign in. And so the first kind of issue with the day, I guess you could say, is the four of us go and sign in. We go to pay and they go, oh, actually, sorry, you guys have been split up. We've got two of you on the 16th and two of you on the 17th. And the two on the 16th are playing with these two people, and the two on the 17th are playing with these two people. So my first question and first issue I want to put to you guys is, I understand why they've done it, and they try to explain why they had done it, but the four of us that don't get that much of a chance to play together, and one guy, it's his first ever time to Griffith, first ever time, you know, only recently, I guess, got a handicap, so playing stroke at an open. So, you know, he wants to be comfortable with the group that he's in. And then all of a sudden it's me and him with two other randoms. And the reason they said they wanted to split it up is they wanted to have some of the visitors mix in with the members, and they didn't want their normal four members that play together every week to play together, and they want them to be split up. I can understand that, but there was something that just didn't taste right about finding out that morning that we were going to be split after kind of ringing up and making sure that we're all playing. I don't know if I'm thinking about this over analyzing it, but would you feel it was weird to go to play an open as a group of four, travel together, and then get there and then be split up?
Oh, I'd be annoyed as. I'm thinking it's low key a scoring thing. Having four randoms come in from somewhere outside of your club to come in and get grouped together, I think it's a low-key scoring issue. And they may have had that before. And you mentioned earlier prizes may drive people to go there just to take it out. So, low-key, I reckon it was that over splitting it up just to mix. Like, come on, really?
Yeah.
Like, obviously, I wasn't there. I don't know how they've said it, and I don't know, the gist behind what they explained. But yeah, that's my call.
DP
scoring.
I saw your mate's shirt, mate. Fair dinkum.
How good is his shirt?
They've gone. These choppers are going to, like, I don't know, run amok on our course. We need to split them up.
100%. And that was, we came to that conclusion that. It was either one, they've had bad experiences with four visitors, or the opposite, they don't want the four members that always play together to play in the open either, and they wanted to split them up again, the four that always, take the prizes, always do this. So, yeah, it was an interesting one, and for us it's okay. We've got the chance to play. But I was like, imagine if Steve-O, DP, Bales came all the way out here and I told him about playing one round and we're going to play one round at Griffith for the Griffith Open, and we got over there and we'll split up. Like, it wouldn't be ideal.
Did you get a say in who the twos were? Like, could you have said, there was no flexibility. So
no flexibility.
Because you said one of the boys only had a brand new handicap. So who'd they put in with?
Me.
Yeah, okay.
But they hadn't looked. I don't think they had looked at it. Like, unless they put the highest handicap and the lowest handicap together. But I think it was just a random split. And originally they put the other two boys with a single player, but then there was a guy that turned up on the day and put his name down and got put in that group as well. So, it was even like they were going to be a group of three behind us while we were a group of four. But, yeah, anyways, it was an interesting start to the day, and it was one that I was like, it's a bit weird, but anyways, play on.
Did you? So there was no flexibility. You tried and said, hey, can you swap the...
No flexibility. I was trying not to be a bit rude about it as well, but I was a little bit cheesed off because I was really looking forward to playing with those four boys, and I wanted to film a little bit more of it for a bit of social media, follow the group around a bit, but then I had these two other randoms, and it was just like, I didn't want to have the phone out the whole time and all that stuff, and it was a bit interesting. But anyways, got paired with two other guys. So it was... two other guys there, Ray and Jack. I'll give them a shout out, old Ray and Jack. Lovely guys, nice guys going around. Ray gets off to a flyer. So these two are off C grade as well. Between Ben, Ray and Jack, they're all off 20 something each. And I'm playing in A grade, and they're making pars from nowhere. Ray's chipping in off the green. He's putting off the green and making, just hole it out. So he's in with a good chance, nine holes in. We get to the 10th. No, he didn't have a chipper. My mate, who would have been in our group, does have a chipper, but...
How's that flex? How's that flex, though? I was playing A grade. I was in A grade.
We're getting to that point, all right? So anyways, we go to the 10th hole, and I've been playing. I've been chopping around. So I'm like, whatever, I'm gonna have a beer. I'm kind of done here. I'm going to enjoy the day. We get on to the 10th. Ray's hit his left into the car park, which is, I didn't even know there was out of bounds there, but there's out of bounds there. So, and the walk is, you've left your clubs. It's one of those holes that you leave your clubs like 50 meters from the tee box. So Ray's got no ball now. So I've smoked one. Best driver hit all day. I think it was the only fairway I found all day. Smoked one. So I'm like, I'll go get you another ball, Ray. So I go run down there. I throw a ball back to him. Ray's on the tee. I'm just sitting there having my beer. I hear this like, four, look out, Nate. His next drive just comes past my feet. anyways, lucky thing, bounced off the rope and didn't go out of bounds and went down a bit. He's got the shits now. He goes down there, tries to hit this wood, chunks this wood. What do you think happens to the three wood? He's played one bad hole in 10 holes. His three wood's gone 50 meters further than the ball by a mile. So he can't hit his three wood on the next shot because that's 30 meters in front of where the ball is. So anyways, he manages to chop it around. Anyways, we get down there. He's fuming. Actually, I birdied that hole, so I owe $2 for the Luke the Duck. It was the only birdie I had.
Well done. Good work.
So then we get down. We play the next hole, par three. The next hole's a par four. So he's chopped the next three holes. He's got a 6-foot putt for birdie. He's got a 12-foot putt. He leaves it halfway. He just goes up and picks his ball up and walks off to the next tee box.
What?
It's a stroke event. It's an open. He just DQ'd himself.
Oh,
I don't know what points he was on, but I swear that he was way more than what I was on at that stage. And he just picked his ball up, didn't say anything to the playing partner. So I asked Jack, I said, what's going on there? Jack's like, I got no idea what's happening. Didn't even talk to him on the next tee box to work out what was happening. Ray just puts his ball down and hits the next drive. So no one knows what's going on at that stage. But he just DQ'd himself, picks up his ball on the next hole off the green.
Oh.
So my question then is leading into DQing yourself in the middle of a round. Have you seen it done? Have you done it yourself? And, like, what's the etiquette there? Like, you're playing in an open with other guys and you've just spat the dummy.
I
understand if you hit one way out of bounds and you get down there and then you can't go back to the tee box and you're just like, whatever, I'll have a DQ, you know, if it's the 16th, 17th hole. But just picking your ball up halfway.
I love it. That's a good story. I don't do it, but I love it. I got a mate, he's a cracker for it, and he plays off like 24 or something, and he has his wick is so small and he just loses his shit. I love it. I don't know if there's etiquette.
I enjoyed it. I mean, Ben and I got a little bit of a laugh about it. We got a bit of a kick out of it.
Good club throw is crucial to the game. Right, I the club tosses for me, that's probably the takes the cake. But the only time I think I would ever do something like that is completely unintentional. I forget for a split second that it's a stroke event, and I just go, fuck it, I'll just take a wipe on this hole. Like, I'm so over it. I've just had four shit fucking holes, Leaving a 12-foot putt 6 feet short would do my.
And then just picks up, and then went to the next hole, and I'm like, does he realize that it's stroke? And like, no one said anything to him. But then he picked up on the next hole because he chunked a chip and just picked up and went to the next tee box. So then it got real awkward. So then it was like, all right, how do we deal with this? Like, this is one of those situations that if we weren't playing with him, it would be okay. If it was one of my mates, I'd be taking the piss out of him and we'd be bantering with him about, you know, how shit he was picking up the ball or whatever. But we couldn't do that because we didn't know what Ray was, and Ray could have gone and got his shotgun out of the car. Who knows what Ray wanted to do. But then
what's
we get
on the scorecard. What's he writing down?
He was writing Jack's score because that's all he had to worry about. So, and then we get two holes later. It's our last hole. It's par four, dogleg, 270-meter dogleg right. There's a little gap on the right. It runs out of room, the fairway, probably like, you know, 200 meters. I pull out driver. Ray, nah, mate, you don't want to hit driver on this hole. I said, why is that, Ray? He's like, look, there's trouble there. This guy's 20 shots higher than me in the handicap. There's trouble there. You can't do this. You can't do that. I said, I've played here a few times. Like, I'm going to go for it. I said, what's the worst that could happen? I'm not winning anything. I'm a million over, so I'm going to have a crack. And then he had a go at me for my ego to my mate because my mate talked about swapping clubs or whatever. He goes, oh, he can't swap his ego. What? I don't understand. Have you, like, do you tell somebody that you don't know the, you know, what shot that they should hit? DP, I'm sure you're good for it.
Nah. you just got to let him go.
Exactly. I thought I'm entertaining you, if anything. Like, yeah, you could tell me that, I haven't seen many it driver off here, or, you know, driver's a real low risk, high risk play off here. Go for it, mate.
I do it after they hit the shot.
He made me feel bad for wanting to hit a 2% shot, like for having a crack.
No, that's not the spirit of golf. You encourage that shenanigans, right? It's like
100%.
What are you laying up for?
You won't go driver. Yeah, you could make this. You could drive this hole. That might be too much for you, mate. You might get over the back of the green here. Just play it. I don't understand.
We had cards on pass on the weekend, and so when my ball's always on the other side of the bloody fairway, so he has to get a mate who was walking. There's a couple of walking, say, mate, give us a laser. What's the number? What's the number? And Blake, it was like the 16th hole. He lays it. He goes, what's your longest club? Bring that and your wedge. I was like, fuck you. But you just gotta banter. Like, if a bloke wants to have a crack, let him have a crack.
But and if it was a guy that was like a lower handicap than me, like if he's lower than me, then maybe. But I don't even give anyone advice that like is 20 shots like higher than me. I don't like doing that myself. I think that's such a weird thing. So, anyways, we finished the round. What's the etiquette when you finish a round with randoms and beer? When you get back to the clubhouse, should you always go and sit down with that group that you finish with and have a beer?
If you're all sitting down for a beer, you have to go and sit with them. That's the rule. There ain't no other rule. Yeah. What did you do, Nate, you egotistical A-grader?
Well, it got awkward. Because
here we go.
I am a lazy prick, so I knew where the 16th hole where we're teeing off is. So I drove down there to near the airport, and I parked my car, and I just jumped the fence and jumped in my car and drove back. So I beat the other three boys back by a mile. I thought my mate Ben was walking back with my two other mates, so we went over. So I said, Ben, ask the other boys what they want for beers. Ben's like, they'll have a couple of drives. No dramas. Had four beers waiting to go. My other two mates get back, and I give them the beers thinking that the beers were for them. And then the other two boys that we were playing with come along thinking that I'd bought them dries, but then I hadn't. And it was just too crowded. I'd got a table of four and I kind of just went into my shell.
Because you fucked up. Fucked up. You deserve to have gone into your shell.
You done fucked up, eh, Ron?
Yeah. You done fucked up.
Yeah. So didn't even say goodbye to him.
So hang on. So how does that story end? You can't. Did you go and buy two more beers, or you made them go and buy their own beers and sit somewhere else? He's nailed it when he called you an egotistical bastard.
It's the first time I ever did it. I felt so bad, and I was like I love when we play Penance, is going and having a beer and a feed with that guy, and I totally forgot about it. And then this guy just like mentally drained me for the last nine holes that I was just like, sorry, Ray, but I can't do it.
Big shout out, Ray.
Shout out to Ray.
Yeah.
Sorry, Ray at Griffith.
And I'm sure your ego, you would have dropped in that 18 hole somewhere that I'm on a podcast.
Griffith, Queensland.
You're full of shit, mate. You're full of shit. And for sure you would have dropped in that combo. I'm on Golf Days Australia podcast. Star off.
He was a Rick Shields fan.
Name drop.
Is that what he said? No, is that what he said?
Yeah.
That's what he said. That's what rubbed you up the wrong way. That's why
he's a 20 handicapper.
Yeah, it's true. Anyways, that was my effort at the Griffith Open, but a great, they put on a great day. Course is pure. I love country opens. I just think it's so fun. So if anyone's out there and they're just thinking about getting away, seriously consider going to some opens out a bit regional, because they are a fun time. They put on a good feed. It was $25 for the Griffith Open. Unlimited barbecue the whole way around. So yeah, we went past the barbie three times, so three steaks. And yeah, it was just an awesome day. So thanks to Griffith for throwing it on. But that's my rant over. I don't know. I'm going to need to get counselling over it.
There's a lot there.
Ray's gone back to the match committee and gone, them dickheads aren't coming back ever again. Did me job.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did me job. Those dickheads aren't coming back.
I even threw my three wood to do it, guys.
How did the other two fare in the other game?
Look, they struggled. We all had a bad day. Our greens are just nothing like theirs. It was like putting on concrete over there, which I love, but you just can't get used to it if you only do it once every year.
Yeah. Oh, that was good. I enjoyed that, Chinwag.
Very good.
You happy you got that off your chest now?
I think so. Not sure. Ray may still come back to kill me.
I think we need to keep Ray's my hero. I've only played golf with you once, mate. And I'm with Ray.
I need witness protection.
There you go. Let's rename him Nate the Ego.
Fuck up.
Gets it from Bryson. Hey, no wonder Bryson's your friend.
Hey. Don't worry.
What are we doing? We're doing a hypothetical.
Hypothetical, yeah. DP.
Would you rather your wife's father owned a brewery or a golf course? White noise. And like, I'm not talking bloody Griffith golf course. I'm talking like let's just say a top 100 in the world.
What about T's and Scones in Tassie?
Not Raffo Farms, but just say, I don't know, some form of golf course. So I don't want to get us into trouble, but just a top 100 golf course, like a Newcastle or something. I don't know. We love Newey. We love the Newey golf course.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, let's say it's like the Australian golf course. Like, it's that good. It's a top tier, the Australian golf course that you've got access to all the time, or a brewery.
James Squire Brewery. Good brewery. Yeah.
Righto.
Any of the independents that Session Set support.
Little Preachers. Yeah, I don't know. Who do they support?
Oh, Jesus, stop talking. I'm going with the golf course.
Yeah.
Steve.
100% a golf course, hands down. I'll pay for my subscription with Session Set happily.
And get over, free golf.
Free golf with the Australian.
Yeah. Yeah. All day, every day. Love it.
You boys aren't as silly as you look.
Nah. Give me another 5 years of fatherhood, but and I'll probably be done.
You'd brew your own, wouldn't you? You'd brew your own.
That's the next step. Yeah, brewing your own. Well, you 100%.
If the old father-in-law owns a top 100 golf course, I reckon you could con him into starting a brewery.
Buying me a brewing set at least.
Yeah. Or a subscription to Session Set.
Yeah.
There you go.
Nice. Very good.
That's a
tough hypothetical.
Makes you think.
Yeah, definitely. All right, let's wrap it up, gents. We have the Vivint Houston Open at the Memorial Park Golf Course in Houston, Texas this week. Lanto Griffin is the defending champion here, gents. DJ Adam Scott set to make their first starts back on the tour since testing positive for COVID. What are we thinking here for the Masters warm-up, gents?
Can I just say, let's bring this segment from Cobra Puma. We haven't done anything about Cobra Puma tonight, so let's do this week brought to you by Cobra Puma. And I'm going to talk about their product, and Steve can as well, because he's got two of these bad boys, the ultralight cart bag. So this bag I've been rocking for a couple of weeks at the moment. 14 way top, all full length dividers, plenty of pockets. It's got the cooler pocket for the beers. You can fit 12 cans in that cooler pocket. So that's nearly enough for a full round of golf. But I've been loving this bag at the moment, and I'm guessing you don't mind your bag either, Steve.
I love it. I do actually really like it. I think the storage side of things is my favorite, apart from the actual sleeves the whole way down in the dividers. They've got sleeves the whole way down. My previous bag had a bit of an issue when I try and throw a club back in, it'd jam up, or when I try and pull one out, it'd jam, and annoying as. And this one, I went out and bought one not long ago, and specifically bought it because of those dividing sleeves. So fact that you can get half a case of beer in there as well is just a bonus.
Yeah, it's nearly got too many pockets, this thing, and it's got plenty of storage. But the other thing I really like about it is it's got the pass-through access. So it's got a cart strap that goes through, which means it doesn't interfere with any of your pockets at all, and it goes through into the bag, snaps on to your buggy, to your golf cart, whatever you're riding around in. And that's one thing I've had an issue with in past bags is that when I strap it on, it means that I can't get access to certain pockets. So they've kind of thought of it all. So jump into Cobra Golf, and if you're looking for a bag, definitely look into the ultralight cart bag. And Double Power, I believe yours is in the mail.
yeah. Can I just say, though, having played with you, your clown, and Steve-O, they look the goods too, those bags.
Do look the goods. There's plenty of colours to choose from as well. So if you're one of those ones that are particular about your colour combo, there is a range of colours there.
And you think Steve would be a good bloke and give me one of these if he's got two?
That's all. You pay for half the one I bought and you can have it.
I'll pay for the half the one that you didn't buy.
Plus postage.
But anyways, yeah, sorry, the Houston Open. It's going to be interesting going into the Masters. You got Lanto Griffin, defending champ. It's actually got a pretty decent field going in, which the Houston Open kind of normally doesn't, because it's normally at a different time of the year. But because they've had to reschedule it, it's the week before the Masters and everyone wants to dust off those cobwebs. So Tom Doak just redesigned this course. It hasn't been used since 1963 on the PGA, and he had help from the one and only Brooks Koepka.
Koepka. Koepka. He's Koepka. Renowned. Koepka's renowned for golf course design.
Renowned architect. But he actually said that, like, besides winning a golf tournament, that he said it was such an enjoyable and fun experience, which I can't imagine Brooks sitting and standing there over plans and kind of, you know, imagining how holes should be. But it'd be interesting to see, you know, the influence that he's had on the course, and it's completely changed since anyone's played it before. So, yeah, it'd be an interesting one this week. I'm looking forward to the Houston Open. Just start to build up, just starting to taper before the Masters. Does that carb loading.
Does that give him an advantage?
Yeah.
Having the designs?
Yeah. Yeah, I reckon it gives him an advantage, just like those kind of guys have advantages when they're playing at their home course on the PGA, just that little bit of that insight. Yeah. But it's Brooks, so he'll probably shoot a million and then win the Masters the next week.
Nice.
Who have we got? Thoughts? DP?
Bit of Aussie action in there, right? We got Jay Day, Adam Scott. We've got a few Aussies playing, right? So I haven't even seen the list. I'm just trying to remember from my small brain when I was eating me Milo ice cream and you guys were rattling names off.
JT's playing.
Stacked field. Matt Jones is there.
Matty J. Yeah. Poston or?
JT Poston. Yep. Playing.
JT Poston.
Yep.
Look, I don't know. Give me a sec. I'm going to go on mute and have a look. You guys talk a little bit more about Tom Doak and Brooks Koepka partnering up with, because Brooks has got that lower leg injury, hasn't he? What is he? How does he describe it? As a lower body impairment.
Which leg is it?
Yes.
Yeah, lower body impairment. He can't tell you that he's got a knee injury. It's a lower body impairment.
Holtz is playing as well. It is a pretty stacked field.
More fans too.
Yeah, Tony Finau. There's fans are back fans again. Is it going first to play time a, in America?
Is it going to play a part in who's going to win? Or is it the best golfer on the day? Or 4 days?
It depends how many are they letting in. I think it's only a couple thousand each day or whatever. So I don't think it'll play too much. But again, they've probably been pretty used to it being pretty quiet. So they're going to get a thrill out of a few of the cheers, but then they're also probably going to have to adjust back to that noise in the background when they're about to hit a shot or standing over a putt as well. So, yeah, it could be interesting to see if that plays an effect and how much they're quieting people down and making people not move and everything else. That'll be real interesting, because then they go back to the Masters and there's going to be no one there. So, yeah, it's going to be funny.
Here's something. So you know how you watch the crowd and you put the quiet sign up and that? They're all wearing the masks and someone yells out, peanut butter sandwich or whatever the fuck.
No one knows who did it.
No one knows who did it.
No one knows.
Fuck.
Mashed potato.
There could be some, yeah. You could have just predicted the future. There could be a big drama this weekend with the unknown person that yelled out something.
Chalmers. Chalmers is in there.
Snake Chalmers one.
Ooh.
Snake.
The Scotty. Tyrrell Hatton. Oh. Any picks? Come on. Who's game enough to say?
Mate, I picked Charles Varner, Harold Varner the third last week.
Yeah, how'd that go for you? How'd three strikes go?
Three strikes missed the cut.
You had a few pars last week as well, didn't you, mate?
Oh, double pars. There's a triple par.
Yeah. There's an update actually from the previous podcast from old mate that was, and I'll just put it out there, he was dodging up his scores in between club championship rounds. You guys probably wouldn't dive straight into saying it that way, but he had a triple par apparently, just quietly on a non-home course in between club championship rounds. But yeah, triple par in there. And
there is a bit of a follow-up there. I believe that guy was...
You want to spill the beans or...
I don't know if I want to spill all the beans, but I believe he was... he was banned from a club as well. So,
two clubs apparently. I think the club he was playing he was moonlighting at, if you will, in between club championships rounds.
Who has the time to do this in the planning? I mean, it's golf. Fuck.
Yeah.
But if you missed what we're talking about, jump back to last week where we talk about club champs and maybe a bit of dodgy handicap action.
Yeah.
We're not here to defame anyone.
I was listening back through that podcast, gents, and I was seething. I can't handle that. I can't handle cheats. Hence the reason I hate Patrick Reed. Just can't deal.
Absolutely. He's just misunderstood, old Patrick. Just misunderstood.
He is, mate. And I noticed you had him on your wall in your studio
right next to you, mate. Yeah.
That bloke that we're not going to name because we don't want to get sued and shit, may work in the golf industry, though. That's the most disappointing part. I mean, I'm not going to say anymore. Yeah. Anyway, okay. let's not go any further.
Back onto this week. I'm going to go with Keegan Bradley.
Yuck.
Going to throw him in there.
Like, I think it's a good pick, but yuck. Keegan Bradley.
not a fan.
Not a fan at all. DP, come on. I want you to pick someone.
I'm looking at this list. Like,
throw Russell, a dart.
Russell Henley, for sure. I mean.
For sure.
I don't know.
Here's a question.
Yeah.
Who has a better result? Both Masters winners here. Jordan Spieth or Danny Willett?
Danny Willett.
This week, just looking at this week, I don't even know if Spieth's in the. Of course, he's in the Masters. He's a reigning champion. He's a previous champion.
He's a previous champion.
If Spieth would have been playing the Masters, if it's probably for his form, Spieth or Willett, who gets the biggies this Open just this week?
I'm going to back Spieth.
I'm hoping Spieth. I want to see Spieth right up there.
Yeah,
but I'm not going to pick him. I'm going to pick Francesco Molinari.
Molinari, yeah, choke artist from last year, right?
Yeah,
Masters. Yeah,
or DJ's just going to win it by a million.
He's one.
But...
He's one for you. He's one. I'll give it to you. Hideki Matsuyama.
Matsuyama, who's that guy?
You know, Phil's mate. Phil's playing too, Uncle Phil.
Yeah, Phil is there.
Creepy Uncle Phil.
Yeah,
what are you laughing at, Nate?
It's Phil's mate because on the sheet, they're both winners of the World Golf Championship, but that's how they qualified for the event. So they're the only two that qualified that way. So they're mates. I love it.
I love that you called that out. That was good.
Very simple DP.
Wasn't going to say anything, but that was good.
What's my mate doing? Where's the Higginator? I don't think Higgsy's playing, is he?
No, he's just warming up.
He's playing.
Good.
Yep. I reckon. I'd love to see.
That, didn't he?
Higgs and Gay play together. Now there's a pairing.
Just putting
it out there.
All right. We are absolutely gas bagging.
friend of the
double par. We'll just wait for double par. That's all it is.
I've told you. Matsuyama. Yep. More important questions. More Matsuyama. Kepska's mate.
Where I just cut him off. See, Steve, I just cut him off last week and I just ended the show.
It's an important question. Who's winning the Melbourne Cup tomorrow?
Oh, yeah, good call. Oh, yeah.
Come on, Nate. There's a big race up tomorrow. You know that, right?
Yeah, I know. And I just put my bets on.
Stops the nation. And
who did you pick, you imbecile?
I picked two horses. Okay. People are going to listen to this the morning of.
Tomorrow morning. Yeah, we're getting this up here. Bloody, hey, have you noticed, Steve-O? We're going to turn around.
I love it. That. I enjoy
it. We didn't play the intro tonight. You should have played the intro. How's Nate last week?
I got it covered.
How was Nate trying to play the outro last week?
Oh, yeah.
People have already left. I'm going Russian Camelot tomorrow. Damien Oliver.
Oh, yeah. I like Camelot.
Damien Oliver, and if it's not them, the other pick that I had was Sir Dragonette, because I like Bossy.
What about Tiger?
I had a good day on the punt today.
Tiger Moth, 21.
Ongoing
Tiger, the golfer, Tiger Woods. Really, really tough. Really, really tough.
You've been waiting that one. You've been practicing that all week.
Really, really tough.
Come on, people are falling asleep. People have fallen asleep while they're driving here.
Who's the guy? I'm going with Tiger Moth. There you go. He's the favorite. Tiger Moth. Yeah.
I'm on Vow and Declare.
Righto. Done.
Yep. Vow and Declare.
What's Nate shaking his head? He's going, shut the fuck up, play the music, we're out. Is that right?
That's it. Shout out to my mate Simon Rango. If you've listened to this far, you've done well, buddy. So thanks for listening, mate. Just a little shout out there. I said I would. That was Naruma Golf Course. He lost a few balls at Naruma Golf Course, I believe. A lovely track down there. It's got a par three. You've got to hit over the cliff. It's great.
I've never played there. Can I just say, Naruma is on my list. And I was going there until they opened the borders and we going to Tasmania. You coming, Steve-O?
No. I'm spewing. I can't make it. I know. I really want to be there, and I'm not going to be jealous at all right? Just don't send me any pictures or messages while you're there. I already had enough of it over the weekend from our mate Joshy.
Yeah, how good was it down there for him? Not a breath of wind. I can't believe that. There's no way we're getting it that good, DP. No way is the weather that good when we're down there.
I've got to share a room with you. Of course I'm not getting it that good.
You'll get it.
I'm going to Golf Heaven in Australia, and I've got to share a room with you. Oh, Steve-O's frozen again. Steve-O, frozen, son.
Oh, no. We better end it. How about we end the show?
Yes. What are we playing?
I'm back.
Oh, shit.
Did I leave it on a cliffhanger again?
You did something. You were looking deep in thought. Yeah, I think your golf bag.
We're going to be rapping, or not rapping, we're going to be talking about the Masters. We're going to be talking all about the Masters because that's coming right up. I'm getting so excited for that, gents. But let's have a good weekend of golf this week, gents. Take it easy, enjoy golf, and we'll see you next week on the Golf Days Australia podcast.
Shout out, Rango. There's another one for you. Now you got to listen to two more episodes.
I ain't got no mates to shout out, Nate. Au revoir. Play the music, Steve-O.
We're weekend hackers and we love to go for golf. And I
showed you guys that on the weekend.
Yes, you did. We'll get to that shortly.